They will look on the one whom they have pierced. In the name of God, who can be seen. A 17th century Spanish Jesuit, Peter Claver, spent his life ministering on slave ships with those African captives who, it was said, had no hope in this world. As a result of that experience, he would frequently say, "The only book people should read is the story of the Passion." Today, we have done that. We read the Passion and consider the ancient grief, the willing suffering of the innocent victim, whom the Church has learned to call fully human and truly God. We come here today not in literal chains like those African slaves, but bound nonetheless. Bound to the human condition. Let us count some of the ways. We may come tied up by sins yet to be acknowledged, bound by the consequences of misusing our gifts, bound by guilt that we imagine cannot be forgiven. We may come dragging our cold hatreds, our petty little resentments, our smoldering rages, our rebellion at limits, our self-deceptions. Because we are human, we come at the very least bound to a capacity for lies, pride, idolatry, greed. And since we so often cannot bear to look, we may come with a history of thoughtless indifference to the suffering of others. We come well equipped with rationalizations for tolerating unjust systems, especially if we have some privilege within them. We may come with spiritual laziness and with the fearful clutching after power, people, and or things. Some of us come here chained to enemies, burdened by the knowledge that we must forgive someone, while the whisper of some inner torturer preys on our fears and hisses, "Do not dare. Do not dare forgive. Revenge is the thing you need." In short, none of us comes here entirely innocent. And even if there did not exist within each of us the capacity to commit unspeakable horrors under sufficient provocation, you might still have come here today nailed to a cross of innocent grief and sorrow. What did you bring here because you could not help it? Wounds? the hollow ache of bereavement, the pain of suffering injustice or misunderstanding, physical weakness, loneliness, anguish over a loved one's suffering, feelings of helplessness in the face of social injustice, of poverty, of ignorance or violence. Perhaps you come with some crushing personal burden imposed by such forces. And with all this, perhaps then, the sense of failure and shame that so irrationally comes with finding oneself without power. Oh yes, so many ways to be bound and even enslaved. It may be that it is at once both too easy to see suffering and too hard to really look at it. It is possible to become fascinated by dreadful visions of life's grimmer realities. Possible to see, but see no remedy. How often could the playwright's words seem to ring true as we fear life might indeed be a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury and signifying nothing. Unbelievers ask us, how can you believe in a loving God when you see all this suffering? Even our place in the Christian community does not necessarily save us from such questioning. I remember considering many years ago now the denigration and abuse of women down through the ages, all in the name of one religion or another, and even Christianity. It made me wonder if images of an angry, rejecting, and, forgive me, my brothers, an exclusively masculine God might have more truth to them than we want to admit. I was voicing this thought to my spiritual director when he asked, with exquisite gentleness, "Is that how you see God?" And in that moment, I struggled for an answer. I asked myself, is that how I see God? Have I ever seen God? Has anyone ever seen God? How can a person see God? Then, as it happened, I closed my eyes and saw a crucifix, saw a representation of Christ on the cross. Is it hatred, contempt, or indifference that the face of God shows us? The best answer that we have to that question is this. There is none of that in the face that looks upon us from the cross. So here we are, contemplating the Passion. We look on the one whom we have pierced. So look and see that God does not stand aloof from the reality of our suffering, even the suffering that we bring on ourselves. God suffers with us. God suffers in us. God suffers with and in all. If nothing else, be reminded today that even a life that appears about to dissolve into pointless chaos has a shape. It has been said that reality has cruciform shape. Your reality and mine has the shape of the cross. The same cross that Jesus stretched himself upon to make a bridge, not just between heaven and earth, but between heaven and the depths of whatever hell we might fear, we or our nation or the whole world is falling into. But is that enough? It is not. It is not unless we remember that this particular Friday, which we have learned to call good, is made so by its relation to another day, the day of resurrection. And between them, a day of waiting. It's all one. A unity that the church by tradition calls the Triduum. Triduum. 3 days in the church's calendar, but one mystery. We need to remember this, because nailed to our own crosses, we also need our experience of God beyond crucifixion. In the words of the late Father Kenneth Leech, without the victory over death, nothing has changed. God has expressed sympathy, solidarity, but that is all. In another age and another place, we Christians might have gathered to contemplate without interruption the things we considered last evening, that Last Supper, the agony in the garden, the betrayal, and then that which we are marking here today. We might have remained right through to sing the same praises that will be sung at Easter vigils and sunrise services all over the world, sung while darkness turns to light, and sung again on glorious Easter mornings in the full light of a new day. In truth, it is all one event, the celebration of one mystery. We call it the Paschal Mystery. And because of it, we are empowered to lift up in intercessory prayer, as we are about to, the world that sin, even our sin, has ravaged. And after that, we will have opportunity, each in our own way, to venerate the cross. The full intent of this, and indeed of this whole Good Friday observance, is stated best in the words of one of the anthems for that veneration. We glory in your cross, O Lord, and praise and glorify your holy resurrection. For by virtue of your cross, joy has come into the whole world. Just so, we look on him whom we have pierced, the sinless one who identified himself with all of our human weakness and gave everything that we might finally see how much we are loved and how powerful is the one who gives us life again and again.